In today's Holy Gospel, you heard the word salt referred to three times in just the first verse, verse 13 of the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Can you imagine being called salt by someone? Was it an insult or a compliment? Good question. Salt was something precious at the time of Jesus. It was scraped and gathered at the seashores from the shore, like the shore of the Dead Sea. But that would be a salt that was absolutely full of impurities. Even with these impurities, it was used by people as a seasoning and as a preservative. But there was another use of salt that's not readily known. As Jesus and the disciples went along the road from Jerusalem to Shechem, which is about 30 miles north of Jerusalem, they would see clay ovens built next to houses along the roadside. These kinds of ovens had been around for years before. It was not uncommon for a village to also have at least one large community oven that everyone could use. In the ovens, they burned something that was more readily available than wood: animal dung. They had plenty of that. It was the job of the young girls of the family to collect fresh dung, mix salt into it, and then mold it into patties by hand that were placed in the sun to dry. Now, I see parents of young ladies looking at each other like, not my daughter. Well, if you wanted to be able to eat, that's what happened. There were no paper towels, there were no rubber gloves, no Purell to help you clean up, no Clorox to be able to smush around. This same procedure, believe it or not, continues today in some of the third world countries. Now, your question might be, why was salt mixed with this dung? If you burned dung without a mixture of salt on the bare dirt floor of an oven, it wasn't going to produce much heat. You know, usually it's filled with moisture, and that would not allow it to be lit very well. So they would put a flat slab of salt as a base on which to put the dried patties. The bottoms of these ovens were covered with a pretty thick layer of salt. Dried patties, which were mixed with salt, were placed on a base of salt, and it gave off a pretty considerable amount of heat. You see, salt acts as a catalyst, increasing the amount of heat produced. A catalyst accelerates a chemical reaction and makes change happen. So salt mixed into the dung becomes a special additive that increases the heat, which gives it off enduring burning. The patties eventually burn out. After a time, the salt base on the bottom of the oven loses its catalytic abilities, say that three times fast, and it becomes useless. So it's then removed from the oven and thrown into a very convenient place: the street. What did the gospel say? It was tossed and under people's feet. The useless salt is thrown over the existing road surface, improving the footing as people walked on the road. I want you to again listen to the words that Jesus spoke from Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Jesus said it's thrown out, thrown on the roadway, and trampled underfoot. So salt has lost its saltiness, lost its strength, if you will. It's no longer good for anything, but it has to be thrown out into the roadway and trampled under feet. Pretty much makes sense now for us modern folk and explains how salt was really used. Jesus said that we are to be salt. I believe that Jesus meant for us to be catalysts, to be change agents, to make a difference, not to just add flavor to a conversation. We are people to make something happen by teaching and sharing God's word with others. It's sad to think that a great deal of the world does not know Christ. And so we are to be catalysts. We're to be Christ's change agents. We are to be Christ's salt. To be the salt of the earth is to be the catalyst to start fires, spiritual fires for others. As Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we're to make hearts burn and long for Jesus. We need to be seeking the help of the Holy Spirit as we let the light of Christ shine within us and as we share Christ's love with others. We need to share about Jesus, in essence, sowing seeds of the faith with other people, trusting that the Holy Spirit's going to take that seed and break it open, letting it grow in the hearts of others. This is what we're supposed to do. So you probably might ask yourself, well, where am I supposed to do this? It could be on the line at Harvey's. It could be on the line at Walmart, of all places. It could be anywhere, anywhere. It's not necessarily what we say, but what we do. Facial expressions, body language speaks sometimes louder than words. We're to be salt. More importantly, we're to be Christ's salt. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verse 13, Paul writes, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." You see, Paul is perfectly quoting words from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verse 32. The Apostle Peter also quotes the same passage from Joel in the words of his sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And as a result of that sermon, 3,000 people came to Christ and were baptized that very day. Three times in Holy Scripture, in both Old Testament and the New Testament, we meet this very passage. And according to biblical studies, three times is an irrefutable declaration of the truth and the efficacy of these words. In other words, you can take it to the bank. These are words that are to be believed. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But Paul raises some very good questions that have a direct bearing on whom we are as change agents, Christians. Paul asks these three questions. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How then can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Someone has to get the word out. That, by the way, is from Romans chapter 10, verse 14. If people are not taught the word of God, if people do not hear the word of God preached, then how can we expect others to be brought to Christ? And then Paul asks the $64 million question. How can they preach unless they are sent? I'm going to ask a heavy-duty question this morning. How many missionaries do we have here in church today? Would everyone raise their hand, please? Everyone raise your hand. Because you're all missionaries for Christ. You don't have to go to a foreign country. You could go to Pearson. You could go to Mount Vernon. You could go to Brunswick or St. Simon's Island. You could go to Coffee County. How you are, who you are, and how you act makes you a missionary for Christ. I want to suggest to you some statements based on that wonderful passage from the Epistle of James, James 2:26, from which we can see that faith without works, faith without proof of that faith, faith without action coming out of that faith, faith without bearing the fruit of that faith is nothing else but dead. Do you understand that verse now? Faith without works is dead. It's with the fruit of our faith that we are to be the salt of the earth, that we are to be catalysts for bringing others to Jesus Christ, that we're to teach, to preach, and through our example, we're to spread the good news of Jesus Christ on this Mission Sunday. It's through his sacrificial love for us that we're going to go home to be with him for all eternity. All over the world, there are many Sunday worshipers who leave it up to their clergy to lead souls to Christ. Sure, clergy have a role in evangelizing the world, but to think that the clergy are alone in this ministry and they're exclusively responsible for converting souls for Jesus Christ is a sad, sad untruth. So my question for you to think about today is, how many souls have you led to receive the good news of the redeeming love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ? How many souls have you led to Christ? Nobody here can save a soul. But you can be like the Apostle Andrew. You can introduce, like he introduced Peter, his brother, to Jesus. You can introduce Jesus to another person simply by showing that person how you've been cleaned up, how you are a different person than maybe they knew you in ninth grade. The need for teaching is important. Can you just imagine the impact on the world if each one of us brought one person to Christ to introduce Jesus to them? All of heaven would be dancing and rejoicing, for we would be doing just what Jesus commanded us to do. Be salt, be catalysts, be change agents in the lives and hearts of those who are lost. The need for teaching and sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ is more critical than ever. People are hungry for the Word of God, and sadly, so many people are not being fed. They're going to churches and they're hearing about my summer vacation. They're hearing about all sorts of things that are taking place. This is nothing new, by the way. People are hungry, and so many people are not being fed. There are people here who have personally witnessed Jesus Christ working, not only in our own lives, but in other people's lives too. We're called, we are commanded, and we're expected by the Lord Jesus Christ to share his word. Each one of us is called to teach the gospel so that those who hear it may believe, and those who believe may receive Jesus Christ, and those who receive him may receive eternal salvation. Our faith is not ours to hoard over. We're not supposed to go home and keep it in a little box and not let anybody know that we have it. It's not ours to be selfish about, because by doing so, we're going to be guilty of holding the Christian faith up as an idol, to claim as only our own. Our faith is meant to be shared, to be given away. There's this Christian artist named Michael W. Smith. He had a great song. He and his wife wrote this. Love isn't love till you give it away. If you don't know the song, Google it. Watch it on YouTube. It's a wow factor. Trust me. Love isn't love till you give it away. Jesus displayed this truth when he hung on the cross, giving his life and love for you and for me. And the Apostle Paul put it this way. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. Just as God reached out beyond himself to create and to love us, we too are called to reach out to others, to love and teach others about the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. If we're not reaching out to others, we're not a reflection of the true loving image of God, his true loving nature and character. Jesus has taken away any excuse that we may want for not doing as he commanded. Remember, he said, and I've said this to you the last three Sundays, the very last words recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 28, he said, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. We have all the help we need. We're not alone. Jesus said, be salt, be a catalyst, be change agents that Jesus expects you to be. Accept the mission to bring souls to Jesus Christ, and he will bless you with the enabling presence of his Holy Spirit. Don't forget, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Remember the question I asked at the very beginning? Have you ever been called salt? Is that an insult or a compliment? It's a compliment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.